On Christmas Eve 1968, the crew on board Apollo 8, which was the first mission to carry humans to the moon, took a photo of the Earth rising above the moon. I had hoped to have that on the screen to show you. That picture is now called Earthrise, and it has been described as the most important, the most influential environmental photo that was ever taken. It helped raise awareness of the beauty and also the fragility of the Earth. And I'm sure you're all familiar with it because you will have seen it many times, the beauty of the moon as it just rises above the horizon of the Earth. And we just had a reading from Psalm 104, which reminds us of the beauty and the wonder of creation. It reminds us of the beauty and wonder of this world that we call home, a world that has been created by God. And the psalmist declares and praises God for this beauty. He says, "O Lord, what a variety of things you have made. In wisdom you have made them all." And the beauty and the wonder of creation inspired the psalmist to worship God, just as the beauty and the wonder of creation can inspire us and move us into worship. I don't know if you've ever had a time when maybe you've seen a beautiful sunset or a beautiful vista, and something in your heart just stirs as you want to worship and praise and thank God for the wonder of his creation. In verse 31 of the psalm, which is a bit further on from where the reading finished, the psalmist says this, that God himself rejoices in his creation. The beauty and the variety and the wonder of this world that in which we live brings God himself joy. And in the creation account of Genesis chapter 1, we read that every day after God has finished the work of creation, he looked at all that he had made and he saw that it was good. So we live in this most wonderful, beautiful world that has been created by God. But when we look at the world today, we see that in so many ways, we have damaged creation. We have damaged this beautiful gift that God has given to us. And the ways that we live, the ways that we work, the ways that we consume have pushed creation to breaking point. Whether that be plastic pollution littering our seas, or species going extinct at an alarming rate, or destruction of fragile ecosystems, pollution of rivers and the air, or climate crisis leading to increased rates of droughts or floods or storms, we can see the impact of our actions on this world and how we have damaged the world in which we live. Just take, for example, climate change. The Met Office reported that the 21st century has been warmer than the past three centuries. And that with 2020 was the first year to have both temperature, rain and sunshine rankings all in the top 10. So we've seen the most rain, the most sunshine and the most heat all within 1 year, 2020. And the last decade has been the hottest ever recorded. And we only have to think about the extreme weather events that we've seen during the course of this year. Flooding in Germany, Belgium, Netherlands and Luxembourg that killed 222 people. Flooding in China, in the Henan province, the central province in China, which recorded its heaviest rainfall in 1,000 years. They had 8 months rainfall in 1 day. And that led to over 300 people being killed. We've seen wildfires from in Europe, from Turkey through to Spain, and also in America. And we have seen the heat dome in the Pacific Northwest, which, according to the National Geographic, rewrote the record books. And climate scientists are saying there is no doubt that it is human activity that is driving this rate of climate change, particularly the burning of fossil fuels, coal, oil, and natural gas. And scientists hope that we can keep climate change, global warming, to 1.5 degrees Celsius. In an article in the Climate Reality Project website, they said this. They said, think of 1.5 degrees not as an absolute line in the sand, but as a general indicator of where many climate impacts, on balance, go from destructive to catastrophic. So if we can keep global temperatures to an increase of only 1.5 degrees Celsius, that will be destructive for our world. If it exceeds that, and unfortunately the science implies that we are going to exceed that, it will be catastrophic. The Intergovernmental Panel of Climate Change, the IPCC, which is the leading scientific body that's looking into climate change, released a report comparing the best projections about what would global warming look like if we exceed 1.5 degrees increase in global temperatures. So if global temperatures went up to 2 degrees, what impact would that have on the world? They said, well, first of all, we would see extreme heat. Droughts would last twice as long. We would see sea levels increasing by at least up to 3% by the end of the century, although some scientists predict it could be far greater than that. And already countries around the world are seeing the impact of rising sea levels. We will see a decline in biodiversity, which is critical for life on this planet. We will see an increase in poverty. It's estimated that several hundred million people will become exposed to climate-related risks and poverty. We will see health impacts as a result of this extreme changes in weather. So think about the heat waves that we see, or even extreme winters, extreme cold as well, which can also be an impact of climate change. That has an impact on people's health. It's estimated that 160 million more people will struggle to find water. It will impact our production of food. 1.7 billion people will experience severe heat waves at least once every 5 years. There will be 4 times as many tropical cyclones, and they will be much stronger and much more destructive. Coral reefs could decline by as much as 99%, and coral reefs are critical for the biodiversity of our oceans, and global fish catches could be decimated. To limit global warming to 1.5 degrees, we need to cut our carbon emissions to zero as quickly as possible. And in order to achieve it, we need to see a cut in carbon emissions between 8 to 15% every year. But the bad news is the UN did a study at the beginning of this year, and they found that the latest commitments from governments around the world would only reduce emissions by less than 1% by 2030. So we need to be reducing it by 8 to 15% every year, and yet looking at the targets set already, we're only going to achieve less than 1% by 2030. And that's why many people are saying this is a climate emergency. And climate change is ultimately a justice issue. The poorest 3.5 billion people in the world, so roughly half the world's population, are responsible for only 10% of global emissions. But they are the ones who are already suffering the worst effects of climate change. And climate change is likely to drive conflicts over access to resources like water. It will drive further refugee crises and migrant crises as people are forced to leave their homes in search of a better life elsewhere. We have a picture on the screen of Orbisa. Orbisa lives with her family in Ethiopia. She rears goat and cattle. Over the last few years, rainfall in her region has reduced dramatically because of climate change. She says this, in the past we had rainfall every 6 months, but now we don't know when the rain will come. The length of the dry season is increasing. And without this rain, her cattle, her animals are dying. That means that she has less income. It means that she has less food. It means that the health of her family, her children, is suffering. And she has to walk 10 hours every single day just to find water. Can you imagine that? 10 hours a day just to go in search of water. And the tragedy is there are millions of people around the world, like Orbisa, who are being pushed further into poverty because of climate change. And we have to recognise that we, particularly we in the West, who enjoy the best quality of life the world can afford, are responsible for this climate change. And we are running out of time to do something about it. We have to act fast and change the way we live, and our governments and our businesses must make concrete actions. We must be much more ambitious if we are to try and stave off the worst impacts of climate change. And this year particularly is a critical time in this fight against climate change. As we come out of the COVID pandemic, and as we think about what sort of society, what sort of world do we want to build, but also as the UK prepares to hold the UN Climate Change Conference of the Parties, or better known as COP26, which will be taking place in Glasgow at the end of October. And COP26 is when heads of state, scientists, business leaders come together to look at the issue of climate change. And COP26 has been considered the most important climate conference that's ever been held. If they do not make significant concrete actions at that conference, then the future for the whole world is looking increasingly uncertain. And there are four reasons why I think as Christians we should be really concerned about climate change. First reason is because God himself said that creation is good. And so if we neglect and spoil his creation, what's precious to him, then what does that say about our respect and our love of God? So God said creation is good. If God says creation is good, then we have a responsibility to look after it, not to damage something that is precious to God. Secondly, God has instructed us to care for the world. If you read Genesis chapter 1, after God creates Adam and Eve, he gives them an instruction that they are to care for the world. Genesis 1 verse 28 from the Message version, he says this: prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge, be responsible for fish in the sea and birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. God has given us a responsibility. We are to be stewards of the world in which we live. We are not to abuse it for our own selfish ends. Caring for the earth is part of our proper worship of God. Thirdly, we are called to love our neighbours as ourselves. So if our actions are impacting other people, then we have to do something about it. And fourthly, God is at the work of reconciling all of the world, all of creation, through him and through Jesus. Paul in Colossians writes this: for God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, that's Jesus, and through him to reconcile all to himself all things, whether that's things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. So God is seeking to reconcile all things to himself. So he's not only seeking to reconcile humanity to himself, he is seeking to reconcile the whole created order, to restore the world to how God intended it to be. And that's that wonderful picture we have in Genesis of the whole of creation being in perfect harmony, living at peace with one another. This is what God desires. This is what God wants: to make all things new. And God calls us to share in this work of reconciliation. And not only to reconcile people to God, but to reconcile the whole created order. The Protestant reformer Luther apparently said this. He said, if I knew that Jesus would return tomorrow, I would plant a tree today. So, how should we respond as Christians? Well, I think the first thing that we need to do is we need to pray. We need to pray about the impact of climate change. We need to pray for people like Orbisa and others around the world who are today being impacted by climate change. We need also to be praying seriously about the COP26 conference. It is a critical conference. If we do not act now, then it will be too late. So we need to pray for our political leaders. We need to pray for our scientists. We need to pray for our business leaders. We need the world to realise that climate change is an even greater threat to life on this planet than even the COVID pandemic has been a threat to our lives. So we need to take it seriously and urgently. We need to commit to praying about it. So can I encourage you to pray about this every day, to make it a priority for you. Secondly, we need to think about what changes can we make that will make a difference in the world. Now, when we look at the challenge of climate change, we may say, well, what can I, as one person, do that's going to make a difference? But of course, if all of us seek to make small differences, then it will have an impact on the world. So, for example, all these things which I'm going to mention, I'm sure you can think of yourself. You know, reducing how much we consume, reusing what we have, so not just discarding things when they get to the end of life, repairing them, reusing them, going shopping at charity shops and so forth, recycling clothing, and of course doing our part to recycle the things that we can recycle. Think about litter. One of the things I do every day is when I go out walking the dog, I go litter picking. So I have a litter picker, I have my big bag of rubbish, a bag for rubbish, and I collect litter as I go walking. Another thing that we can do is we can think about our carbon footprint. There are lots of apps and websites available that enable you to calculate what your carbon footprint is. I've used one so I know what my carbon footprint is. And it will ask you sort of questions like, how often do you fly? How often do you drive or use public transport? Do you eat meat? Simple questions that only take a few minutes to fill in, but then it will tell you what your carbon footprint is and crucially what you might be able to do to reduce it. There are also lots of wonderful apps to offset your carbon emissions. I'm using three at the moment. I have one on my phone called the Tree App. So each day it allows you for free to plant one tree. And it tells you how much of your carbon you're offsetting. So I have offset all my carbon emissions within the last 3 months. And I'm well on my way for being carbon negative for this year. And again, it's free. I have an app that records how far I drive in the car, and they also carbon offset and plant trees. I'm not entirely sure how it works, but that's what they say they do. I have an app that if I walk 5,000 steps 5 times a week, they will plant a tree. All of these things are free. All of them are simple to use. But of course, there are other things that we can do. Driving less, using public transport more, walking, cycling, switching to cleaner sources of energy. You know, replacing our light bulbs in our house. Lots of little things that can make a difference. Another thing that we can do is we can look at our diet and change our diet. The food industry, particularly the meat and dairy sector, is one of the most important contributors to climate change. Did you know that if cattle were treated as their own nation, they would be the world's third largest emitter of greenhouse gases after China and the US. I find that quite a shocking statistic. So, you know, if we seek to reduce the amount of meat we consume or seek to adopt a vegetarian diet, that has an impact on climate change. Making our voices heard is important. Writing to our MP, campaigning for climate justice, speaking up for those who don't have a voice. In fact, in October, there is a march, a pilgrimage taking place as people make their way to Glasgow for the COP26 summit. And people on that pilgrimage are going to be coming to Carlisle. There's going to be a special lunchtime meeting in St. Cuthbert's Church in October. There'll be information about that in next week's e-bulletin. So you can go along to that and hear them speak and go along and support them. And also, you can add your voice to the various petitions that are around. Probably one of the most important is the Climate Coalition's Declaration. Maybe put this in the bulletin for next week. But this is a group of charities, organisations, well-known charities like Oxfam, Tearfund, Christian Aid, who are calling on the UK government to lead the world in delivering a healthier, greener, fairer recovery that limits global warming to 1.5 degrees. So again, little things that each of us can do, but collectively, if we all do them, can make a difference. So we need to stand alongside those who are impacted by climate change around the world, in our prayers, but also in our actions as well. So I'm just going to finish by saying a prayer. So let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you are the God of justice. Jesus, we are sorry for the ways that we have damaged your creation. Help us to make changes in our lives that love our global neighbours well. And Holy Spirit, would you stir the hearts of our government, guide them in all their decision making, and inspire them to protect the most vulnerable. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.